Hey y'all, Sam here. Thanks for tuning into Party Girls. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at party.girls.pod and check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/partygirls, where you can subscribe to our show and become a member of our Discord community. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
How was the fucking eclipse party with the camping?
It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was life changing.
Yeah. Did you get to see the eclipse?
I got to see the eclipse. It was fucking insane. I fell to my knees in glory.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Well, you went to a little town called Camden, New York.
Where's that?
So this is nice. It's in the path of totality, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, I guess I'll start at the beginning. Came up here with my friend Madison to my mom's upstate place in the Catskills, and we had a real cute time of it. We came up a day early. We did a little hike in the snow. That was fun.
Snow?
Looked for signs of spring. Oh, yeah, there's snow still. Well, not today. It seems to have all melted. I'm looking around. But there's still snow like in the higher elevations. But it's melting, so everything's really wet. The river is full and gushy. And it was nice. We had a cute hike. We got dinner. Then some of our guy friends came to join us. And yesterday, we set out from this house in the Northern Catskills, drove about 2.5 hours into the path of totality. And we read an article, a news article that really convinced us. It said, like, the difference between being in the path of totality and not is the difference between kissing someone and marrying them. And, you know, part of me was like, ugh, who wants to get married?
Oh, you do.
Been there, done that. But, so we drove to this little town, and Madison was like, had this map of the cloud cover that she was just constantly consulting as we decided whether to drive further west or further north. So we settled on this town. Well, first we drove past the field where everyone had gathered with the local radio station, and half of us in the car were like, let's do it, community, and half was like, ugh, too many people. So then we had to drive a little further, and we saw a very nice eclipse watching bench in the middle of an eclipse watching field. And we're all like, it's perfect. But I was like, this is someone's private property, and they're definitely going to kick us off because I know what the fuck people are like around here. And sure enough, we were sitting on the bench. We'd been sitting there for like a minute. You know, one of my guy friends cracked a beer. And we Classic. See this trio of people coming towards us. Yeah. Uh-oh. We see this trio of people coming towards us from the house on the other side of the property. And it was kind of ominous because they were just walking and walking and walking and not saying anything and walking and walking.
I'm like, very ominous.
It's a man, a woman, and a child. And there were four of us. It's like, we could take them. One of them's a child. Come on. But we didn't want any trouble. So there, but they, it was awkward because they like weren't saying anything, and they started to get kind of close to us, like close enough to talk to each other. So we're just like, oh, hey, is this your property? And they're like, yep. And we're like, oh, do you want us to leave? And they're like, yeah, you should have asked. You should have asked first. Like, yeah, I'm going to go knock on some stranger's door and be like, hey, can we watch the eclipse from your perfect eclipse watching bench? And they would have been like, yeah, sure. Come on in. No. So we left and we went back to the field, and, you know, I was afraid the local radio station would be like annoying, crazy Ira and the douche, you know, mm-hmm. But no, like the DJ had actually put a lot of thought into his eclipse playlist, and they even, they went quiet for when the actual eclipse was happening because they knew that this was a moment of silent contemplation for everybody.
I was actually going to ask that. That was nice.
Yeah, they turned off the music and just let us. It was so cool. It like, and the clouds just parted for just long enough for us to witness this thing. And there were, you know, people of all ages there just hanging out, kids, dogs. It was lovely. We got some funnel cake.
Yes.
And everyone was just looking at the sky. One of my dude friends was moved to tears by it, which I thought was very charming and adorable.
Several of my dude friends.
Aw, dudes. Yeah. That's, I love that for them. I was not. I was just like, wow, this is so cool. Because, you know, it got dark out. It got dark out in the day. How often does that fucking happen? And like the lights went on, you know, the like, you know, the lights that only go on at night went on.
That's funny.
And yeah. And it was just, you know, it was a marvelous event. I was filled with wonder. We were all looking up at the sky like little kids. And then it was over. And we went to visit a friend in Syracuse, actually, of all places. And then we drove home from there. But I think all in all, it was, I can now see better the connection between communism and the eclipse in people's minds. If only because, like, I talked to so many strangers about this thing. It's like a socially acceptable reason for people to talk to each other who don't know each other. And that doesn't always happen, especially when you are, you know, basically a tourist in a place you don't live. But like everyone was talking about it. Everyone had a plan. And it was like really cute and nice to see people, strangers, coming together and hanging out and communicating about something that wasn't like a natural disaster, you know?
Yeah, something that wasn't
like,
terrible.
Oh, it's actually something nice for a change did this to people.
Yeah.
And that was super rad. It's I didn't know if anyone was going to even care, you know, like I feel like you could have a news story that like aliens exist and people would be like, cool, cool, cool.
So there's a whole class of people called shadow chasers who travel around the world globetrotting from eclipse to eclipse. And they do really care. But yeah, I really like that point that you said about like something so universal was happening that could bring people across like who didn't know each other to start talking to one another that wasn't like something terrible in the news, you know? Or something that everyone will have a different opinion on. You know, everyone is just like,
yeah,
this is a fantastic.
It was the ladies in the bathroom that we talked to were like the wonders of God's creation. And we were like, yeah.
Bless. Fuck yeah. Similar experiences for me. I'm really glad. I'm so happy to hear that the clouds parted just in time for you. During my last, Carbondale, Illinois were my stomping grounds for quite a long time, which is sort of the mathematical epicenter of both of the two eclipses, the one that was in 2017 and this one that was yesterday. And in Carbondale, the first time around, I was hosting a music festival at my punk house that I lived at the time. So I was in town and kind of playing host, and we all went outside for the eclipse, but like one little cloud moved right in front of the sun where we were standing during the moment, and I didn't get to experience it. So for the next 7 years, I was like, oh shit, I can't wait for the next one. I really want to experience this. And of course was like neurotically watching the Doppler images of like the predicted cloud coverage for the day, and all that shit's bullshit until the day of, you know. And we were really blessed with bluebird skies here in Southern Illinois. So I came down for a gathering, a convergence of comrades from across the country and the world for an eclipse viewing and camping convergence in the Shawnee Forest. And when totality struck, all of the birds and all of the crickets, everything just went quiet for like 10 seconds. And it was like the most quiet and calm I'd ever been in my entire life. The entire day I was calm. And I'm not a calm person. I'm like, I'm hyper, I'm annoying, I'm anxious, I'm emotional. Calm is not a word.
Yeah, that's why we get along.
Yeah. Calm is not a word many people would use to describe me. And all day I was remarkably calm. And it like, in totality hit, I fell to my knees in glory. I don't. So the day before, you talked about the relationship between communism and the eclipse, which I think is why, you know, for folks listening, that's why we're bringing this up now, among other reasons. It's you know, cosmically based on an objective level. And was, as Jamie was sort of pointing out, a universal human experience for those who were in the line of totality and who went there to experience it together. And that's probably the only time I would use the term universal human experience is when talking of the universe. But the day before, Sunday night in Carbondale, there was a march where folks took over the street in Carbondale and pushed. So Carbondale, for folks who don't know, is a small city of about 20,000 in Southern Illinois, about 5.5 hours south of Chicago. So real far down there. I mean, it's further south than St. Louis. It's further south than parts of Kentucky. And it's the biggest city, and it's only 20,000 people in the whole Shawnee National Forest area. And this march had two banners at the front. One of them said, "The end of the world, the beginning of the next." I don't remember what the other one said, but there was a march of about 200 people in costumes and paper mache masks and all sorts of fantastic outfits, drums and a sousaphone, sort of just marching around town, chanting things like, "We are the next eclipse," and and "We will black out the sun."
Sure.
And it was just a very sort of like wondrous and joyous experience. And I've lived in I came to Carbondale for the first time 12 years ago and lived here for 6 of them, and like that was the most fun I've had ever in this fucking city, and it was beautiful. And then the next day was the eclipse, and it was life-changing for me. It really was. And I'm really grateful. And I'm really grateful you got to experience it too in your own way.
Yeah. Well, say more. Like, how did it change your life? Because I thought it was a neat thing to get to witness, but I don't know if I had quite the same reaction that you did.
Sure. So I guess first, like, one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately that I think people, myself included, like oftentimes overlook, which is like all of our political strategies and like political philosophies and like proposals and all of these ideas that we have where we try to like, you know, come up with a story or a strategy or a plan about the world or a movement or something. They come from like a very specific social and relational and emotional context and like emerge from there. And like that's a good thing. That's what makes them unique. So for me, like in 2017, a few days before the first eclipse, there was an anonymous text that came out of Southern Illinois called "The Next Eclipse" and was sort of a vision and a call for building regional autonomy in Southern Illinois. This place, this little tiny place that oftentimes dismissed as flyover country in Southern Illinois, that was at the epicenter of a crossroads eclipse, something that normally only happens, the same place on a map will only normally get an eclipse every 360 years in a row, if that place is to get an eclipse, about every 360 years. This place got two of them in 7 years. And we were there and we were like, wow, this place is special. Let's assign meaning to this. And the production of meaning. So this text came out called "The Next Eclipse." And it's a really beautiful piece. Folks can find it, I think, on the Next Eclipse at WordPress.com or whatever. And it's sort of like a speculative fiction piece that talks about what, a regional autonomous form of life could look like with farmers and smaller cities and towns sharing resources and coming together for weird tomato festivals and things like that.
Love a tomato festival.
Yes. Which is a real thing down here in Southern Illinois. I've never been, but they all the farmers come and they throw all their tomatoes in a big pot that they grow and they make a big, big sauce and they, you know, tomato together.
Wow. Do you get to go in the sauce? You swim in it?
Is it like that weird
tomato?
You take turns bathing.
Tomato holiday that they do in Spain, where you get covered in it, or no?
I don't know anything about this tomato holiday, but no, I think the sauce is primarily for eating.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool too.
But I've never been. Maybe they do, like they smear it all over their bodies and roll around in the fields. People do some pretty freaky shit.
Party girls field trip.
So this text, the next eclipse, and forgive me if I talked about this on the last episode. I don't really recall.
No, you didn't really. I didn't. You put it in the episode title, and I had no idea what that was a reference to until somebody else told me. So I would love to hear more about it.
Okay. I haven't read it in a few years. I used to read it all the time, but it draws on the history of how human beings have oftentimes experienced eclipses prior to the advent of contemporary modern day scientific things, when people could predict them and knew exactly when they were going to occur. And I think I'm assuming some cultures figured out how to do that on their own without fucking computers and satellites and shit. But I don't know anything about that. But historically, over the human story, eclipses have been moments of upheaval. It could be cultural upheaval and change, or social upheaval and change, or revolutionary change, or just some sort of paradigm shift where if an eclipse happens where you live, there is a time before that eclipse and there is a time after that eclipse. And that eclipse marks a moment in time. One could imagine, like, if you didn't know it was going to occur, and then all of a sudden it feels like it's getting dimmer and darker and colder. And then all of a sudden there's a giant pulsing black circle in the sky. That's a pretty profound experience, I would reckon. And in places around the world, that has coincided with massive cultural and spiritual and political paradigm shifts. So what the next eclipse sort of put forward and postulated was, in the time between these two eclipses, let's lean into that a little bit and try to rethink our relationship to this land, to each other, to questions of politics and ethics and how we share and face the world together. And in order to do that, let's build out the infrastructure for regional autonomy down here during that time. There were different attempts during the last 7 years down here in Carbondale and throughout Southern Illinois, where folks were trying to do that. There was this really interesting project, which I'd love to talk more about. Maybe I'll write a recap or something about all of this, and we can figure out what to do with it. But called the Carbondale Spring, which was back before it was cool in 2018, the Carbondale Spring was calling for defunding the police. So the folks down here in Carbondale were doing some research, and they found out that the Carbondale, of comparable cities, so college towns around the Midwest, Carbondale had on average 3 times more police officers per capita than any of the other ones. And there's racialized reasons for that. There's also economic reasons for that. The school had at its peak 29,000 students, and now it's less than half of that. So they put forward this language of right-sizing the police department by defunding and pulling the money from the police department and putting it into 4 different types of programs. And these were a sort of like a pool for cooperative business, worker-owned businesses to start. So you could get a zero interest loan and start a burger joint, and then pay some of that money back into the pool, and then that money gets lent to another place to start their own worker-owned business. And it's a way to like fund and infuse cash into this sort of process. Green energy, social work, services like that. And one other tenant as well. Building regional food autonomy. So building community gardens and having this really municipalist framework. So let's start from this like city level, and let's use these resources that are available. So all of this stuff has sort of been happening down here in Carbondale in the last 7 years. I left 6 years ago. So like a year, I guess, maybe around to the week after the last eclipse, I moved out of this land and moved to Chicago. And have, this place is really special to me. I'm coming from been looking forward to this for 7 years. And we've got this political text that sort of says, what if 2 eclipse is something that we do? And what if an eclipse is something that we become? And it's sort of about eclipsing these horrible fucked up evil systems that are in our world by coming together and facing them together and overriding them, destituting them, eclipsing them. And so during all, like, this is all of this last 7 year context that a lot of us down here in Southern Illinois and around the country who are, you know, who we're in touch with have been looking forward to this. And it would, the cloud coverage was supposed to be like, oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, it's going to be fine. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh, it's only Carbondale that's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden it was just blue skies and there were hundreds of us and we got to experience that together. And then there was a fucking rave and that was sick. I spent 3 hours yesterday.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks. I spent 3 hours yesterday trying to figure out how to hang this fucking laser from the ceiling of this barn. And I finally figured it out and it was miraculous.
Nice.
That's my weekend recap.
That sounds lovely. I don't like camping or raves, but I'm sure I would have liked to see all the fine comrades in attendance. Oh, one other thing I forgot to mention was that today, so my friend Madison was like, I'm going to jump in the water. I need to jump in the water. And I was like, you know, we got here. It was kind of cold. It's like early spring in upstate New York. There's still fucking snow on the ground. I'm like, you're crazy. Girl, you're crazy. But then today we got up and it was 68 degrees and sunny outside. And, oh, wow. You know, we hung out on the porch for a little bit. We got kind of hot. And I'm like, let's fucking do it. Let's go. Because at first I was just like, all right, I'll drive you to where you could jump in the river and I'll watch. I'll take a video. But like, I'm not fucking doing it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So we both jumped in the river and like cleansed ourselves, which felt like a cool thing to do right after the eclipse, right? Because you're beginning again. And it was amazing. Like, I'll send you the video. It's probably pretty funny, but like, it really takes your breath away because the water is so fucking cold because it's being fed by melted snow right now. The snow is just melting into the river and the river is like very full of just freshly melted snow. So it's like the coldest, cleanest water. And it felt really nice. So now I'm like, yes, I will begin again. And I don't go in for a lot of like, you know, astrological woo-woo shit, but, there is something nice about, you know, marking the passage of time, right? Because that's how humans experience time in a linear fashion, generally, you know, unless you're like Willow Smith or someone. But yeah, it's a good time to like think about shit. Why not? Like, yeah. I can't get mad at that.
For me, and everyone approaches this question of like the spiritual in a different way. But for me, it's like about the production of meaning, you know, about like creating meaning in a world that tries to just like, tries to sterilize everything and like squash our ability to find collective wonder and joy and revelry and like separate us from this planet and put us into the, you know, the little cubes and eat the bugs and all that shit. And like, I've like been devoid of any sort of spiritual foundation for all of my life. I mean, there was like a couple weeks in like seventh grade where I was like, oh, I'm going to meditate and like learn about Buddhism and like, you know, listen to Jimi Hendrix. And that was great. But besides a very brief moment then when I was just experimenting, I've been like totally detached from any semblance of a spiritual relationship to the universe or even just a connection to the earth, you know, any connection to Mother Earth at all. And like, I am just interested, like I'm totally open to, and I think is fully legitimate to actually just do these rituals to produce meaning in a way that can like change the way you relate to the people around you. And understand yourself and be like, yes, I will defend, we talked about the astrology shit, but it's like one of the reasons I think people get into it is because it allows them to stake their claim and be like, yes, I am a cosmically significant individual in this world that tries to make me feel like I'm not. So like yesterday with me feeling calmer. Like, I'm already hypered out, but like feeling calmer than I have in as about as long as I can remember, in years, in fucking years. And I spoke to other people, and like five other people all said the same thing. Not everybody, but like just this unexplainable sense of calm that they don't normally feel. And like, there's something, these massive objects in space that have these gravitational pulls and these forces, and they're participating in these sequences that we don't understand and don't have a competent language to describe what's occurring, except through like maybe a dry scientific explanation. But there's this cosmic event that I'd never experienced before happening like right in front of my face, and it's fundamentally changing the way I'm experiencing reality. And I'm like, huh, maybe there is something to this idea that these massive, huge things in space have consequences to other things that we don't understand. And I'm like I think astrology is like one expression, like one school of thought. Like, I'm not necessarily saying I believe in astrology now, but it was like, it was just such a profound change in how I was and how I felt from what I normally feel, that I was like, I'm ascribing significance to this because it makes my life richer.
That's nice. No, I like that for you. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, you know, whatever works, man. Whatever.
No,
works.
You can yuck it all you want.
It's fine. It's cool. It's better than fine. I'm happy for you. You know, it's okay to experience the world in different ways as your friends. I have a lot of practice. I have a lot of practice with it. It's funny, actually, because my friend who I'm here with is also kind of into that stuff. And she was like telling me about some other moon thing that happened the weekend of October 14th, October 15th, something that was supposed to be like astrologically significant for a new thing. And I looked up what day that was. And that was actually the last day, the last stop on my portion of the speaking tour, the We Launing Worldwide Mass Action speaking tour, when I spoke at Woodbine Space, which is where I guess I didn't meet her, but she like saw me for the first time. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. I needed a new single girlfriend, and then I got one kind of starting on that day. We didn't actually meet until I didn't meet her until we were in Atlanta. But like, I was like, oh, that's nice. That's cool. That's nice. I'll feel good about that, even if I don't think the moon actually did it, you know.
Drake would say, sounds like God's plan.
Yeah, well, if God's plan is for me to have friends, then, you know, I'm fine with that. But I wanted to grab on to something you said about the eclipse and communism, because I think that is a really, that's a cool way to think about it, because the way that I've heard it used in communism up until this point is more like an eclipse is when the movement is kind of at a lull. Kind of like when it dies down and goes away and no one's really sure what to do. There's not a lot of, you know, spontaneous self-activity of the working class. And, you know, the most famous instance of that, I think, well, famous might be putting it a little bit too strongly, but the Gilles Dauvay book, which I'm sure you have at least a passing familiarity with if you fuck with communization theory, because it's like a foundational text of communization theory, the book called Eclipse and Reemergence of the Communist Movement by Gilles Dauvay. It was written, his thinking on this came out of May 68, which he was in France for. When was it first published?
74, it looks like.
74. And then, you know, he's got a lot of theories on it, on how the communist movement might come back. And then there's like so many forewords if you get a current edition, because it's like, okay, well, this didn't happen. Okay, well, we thought this was going to happen, but it hasn't happened. But, you know, we're still holding out hope. So like maybe that's the wrong way to think about it. Maybe we need to be the eclipse, or maybe maybe like, I mean, they talk about this too. Like, it's about figuring out what to do in those moments of eclipse. And, you know, you can just throw up your hands and be like, well, nothing's happening. There's nothing any of us can fucking do except for, you know, retreat into our armchairs and, you know, cancel each other online and get into these weird little sectarian battles. Or we can say, like, here, this is the primary challenge. What do we do between these moments of popular uprisings to better prepare for the next one? So that is, I mean, that's a question on everybody's minds right now as we live through non-revolutionary times. Although, you know, shit does seem to pop off more often than it used to. So maybe that's a good sign. But the idea of like becoming, I don't know, I got to think through this a little better before I like say something dumb. But like, how do we, you know, not fight the eclipse, but sort of use these moments, figure out how to make them still be productive and constructive, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, I mean, that matches really, really nicely with my experience of the eclipse as an eclipsist in Southern Illinois, where, yeah, we tried this to build this regional autonomy thing. And once again, it was sort of after I left and I wasn't as involved in it as maybe I would have, or as I would have been if I lived here. But in a lot of ways, there were really cool things that happened, and there's ongoing projects and relationships that were forged. And in other ways, there were parts of the projects and the initiatives that did not come into being, that like for various reasons, whether it be COVID, whether it be relationships, whether it be just the difficulty of accomplishing a very bold and revolutionary and forward-thinking thing that's ahead of its fucking time. Some of these initiatives didn't come to fruition, but you know, there was a cognizant effort to use these moon cycles as a way to, like, as you sort of said, mark time or block time to try this stuff. And a quick plug for the next total solar eclipse that will come into the continental United States is in is August 23rd, 2044. So you can look forward to mine and Jamie's report back from that one too.
Well, what's that year gonna be like?
What do you think?
This is a fun game to play. You can name any year that's like at, I don't know, any amount of years into the future, and people are like, like, no one likes to think about that year and what may be happening in the world. Oh, it's actually kind of funny. I saw someone like posted on Instagram the last time there was a total solar eclipse in this country, which was, when the fuck was that? I don't know. Decades ago. And there was some news guy who was like, you know, the next one will be in 2024. May it look down upon a world at peace. And we were all just like, LOL, nope. Guess again, sorry. But like, I still hope that that is true of the next one, however improbable it may be. I will be 59. What are you, 30?
I will be 50 years old during that eclipse.
Oh geez, I'll be fucking 60.
You'll be 60 and I'll be 50. That's so cute.
Cool, love thinking about that. Yeah. We'll just be, you know, rocking on the porch together. Mm-hmm. No, that's not rocking chair age. Quite. Well, I mean, any age is rocking chair age if you like rocking chairs, which I do.
Facts.
But yeah, we'll be growing old together is what I mean.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Growing old, but not growing up.
I love that.
So anyway, not to bring things back to earthly matters too much, but I've largely been off of Twitter because I didn't want the ending of Curb Your Enthusiasm to be ruined for me. But I did go on it enough to see That Hillary Clinton, God, she's so bad at this. Or whoever she has working on this is so fucking bad at this. She like posted that photo of Donald Trump looking directly into the sun during the last eclipse. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. As like some sort of own. She's like trying to own him somehow. That someone else is like, what? Like the fact that he could still see after doing that makes him look like a superhuman. Like, why would you make him look cool? Why would you remind people that he looked into the sun and apparently was fine?
That shit is bright. When I put on my eclipse glasses and looked at the sun like prior to the eclipse starting, I was like, whoa, I forgot it's a circle.
Yeah, dude. It was okay. So like, I feel like a lot of people did this. Like I put them on, I looked at it, and I took them off while I was still looking. I was like, oh no, my eyes. And I did it a couple times before I realized.
Yeah, it's just bright as fuck.
Like, but you know, you could have a little eye damage as a treat. It's fine. But yeah, yeah, Trump.
We love our treats on this show.
He's good. Yeah, no, always. But fucking, how about that Donald Trump? Are you excited for Trump 2? For the second coming of President Trump?
No, believe it or not. Honestly, I haven't thought about it that much.
Me neither. I think I'm just trying not to think about it.
I think I'm trying not to think about it.
But it seems likelier and likelier by the day. But it's like, I'm not thinking about it because, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go canvassing for Genocide Joe? No. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Absolutely the fuck not.
So I'm like, whatever. I'm going to spend my energy elsewhere and cross that bridge when I come to it, I guess.
There's something so like deeply unserious and also kind of insulting towards our intelligence about this, like this just like language of like voting for Biden as like harm reduction that is just like so out of touch with reality. It's just like, if we want to use that framing, that harm reduction framing or something like that, those motherfuckers, those Democrats need to learn their fucking lesson. You know, like they don't give a fuck about us at all. And they're putting these just like idiots at center stage and then expect us to just sort of like go along with it. And like, for me, it's like that cycle where the Democrats continuously let the Republicans ratchet us to the right. And then the Democrats refuse to let any return left to occur. Is just like one of the many, many, many things that are causing this country to just look more nightmarish and hellish all the fucking time. And like this language of harm reduction that like affirms and legitimizes that thing every single fucking election cycle just allows all of this to continue. And it like, it doesn't make any sense when the more you think about it. Where it's like every single fucking election is the most important election of our life because the Democrats and the Republicans keep making everything worse, yet somehow we're still supposed to be like, oh, but the Democrats aren't somehow just making everything worse all the fucking time, and vote for them. So no, I haven't thought much about it. This feels ridiculous to say, but like a Donald Trump election would be very bad. It would be very bad for a lot of the people that I care about, a lot of my friends who are illegal immigrants, people who are coming into this country, a lot of my friends who are trans. Be very bad for anyone who's a fucking anarchist, anyone who fights the fucking cops and all their shit. Like it's like, and then you have this like fantasy. Or like, I don't know, this fucking dystopian fucking scenario that's like Donald Trump's granted immunity by the national fucking Supreme Court and then gets elected and then poof, yeah. We got a dictator, you know? And it's like, I don't know what the future holds. And like, I kind of can't concern myself with that shit, with that spectacle, with all of that stuff, because it's never ending madness, and I just don't have the space in my fucking
yeah
wherewithal right now for that.
Well, let's look on the bright side. Maybe this is going to be the last election that where people are going to try to make us care about, because maybe it'll just be the last one.
Yeah, the last election.
There will be no more.
Jesus.
You know? Can't wait to stop getting texts from my mom. Like, you got to tell your listeners to vote for Joe Biden or else we'll have fascism forever. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe she's fucking right. I don't give a shit. I'm not going to do that. Because they're not going to do it just because I tell them to do that, but they will stop listening to my podcast. So sounds like a lose-lose to me.
I'm looking at the map of totality for the next total solar eclipse, and it seems like we would be good to move somewhere in northern central Montana.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if that's where we'd want to be during a Trump presidency.
I mean, look, I was talking about it with my friends last night. Like, this house would be a pretty good place to ride out a lot of shit, because not only is it in the mountains, so a little bit cooler than even than it is in the town, the nearest town, which I'm not going to say what town it is because I'm not a fucking idiot. It's got a generator, it's got solar panels, and you know, my mom put in the solar panels because she is an environmentalist, but you know, you never know when the fucking grid's gonna go down and we're gonna need to make some energy from the sun. It also has a well, so you don't, you know, it, you don't nice. Rely on municipal water. Great. And it's very peaceful and nice here. You can sleep, like, right now it only sleeps like six people, but if we got more mattresses up in the loft, it could sleep a lot more people than that. So we could, you know, help as many people out as possible who need a place to live and, you know, ride out whatever the fuck is happening in the city. But then again, you know, the cities, I feel like people just assume, oh, you got to get the fuck out of the city in the event of some kind of disaster. But like, I don't know. There's something to be said, too, for like densely populated areas where people can like band together and help each other out.
Yeah, we should become a prepper podcast. That would be fun. The number one thing that will keep...
I mean, we're not a prepper podcast.
No, I suppose we aren't. We aren't not. The double negatives and the triple negatives fry my brain. But like the number one thing that would keep, that we always seem to forget, myself included, like is like dense relationships and community is the thing that will keep you safe. You know, being out in the boonies all alone, like stocking up with your buckets of fucking like freeze dried macaroni. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like that's not, you're not going to survive. Like just as this like paranoid, isolated person. And if you do survive, is that a life worth living? Just like anxiously pacing your property lines, like fucking threatening to shoot people who like look at, like want to look at the eclipse from your eclipse viewing bench. Yeah, you know, it's like,
callback.
Sorry, I don't have to project that on those people. I definitely didn't do that. But like, you know, it's like, we were talking about this over this camping excursion that I was on, and it's like traveling during moments like this, like driving cross country to go somewhere, like doesn't really seem safe. That's very isolating. You're very vulnerable. You're definitely a target. And then it's also, it's like, but running off to the boonies, if you don't have a sort of established network of like care and infrastructure and circulation and ways to like sustain subsistence, right? You ain't gonna make it. So it's like, for me, it's like when I look ahead towards the future, and I was talking about this with a friend, my voice sounds crazy, partially because I was screaming at this march and during the sock wrestling last night where people were wrestling, trying to get each other's socks off. 10 out of 10.
Wow. So that's how you guys like to party down in Carbondale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
That's freaky.
Oh my God.
No judgment. No judgment.
I also smoked like 40 cigarettes over this, which I don't even smoke cigarettes. I don't know why this always happens when I come to these things. But like in the future, like my fucking, my 10-year plan is to like move not too far from where you are right now. And like try to get some land outside of a medium to medium large size city. That's maybe like an hour outside of it, and like try to get some like a building inside of a city that's like a floor of apartments and a couple storefronts underneath it, and like have some like businesses that like me and my comrades run together, whether it be like a bar or coffee shop or fucking traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture or fucking therapy or like whatever our skills are at that moment. And then also have a land project. But there is like an ability to opt out and like to move between different yeah. projects and different territories and different cities. And like, that's my goal. And I was, and a friend like said this to me, or we can circulate between the two. So it's not just like, let's go move out into an isolated area and hope our relationships don't all fall apart. You know, like I can't afford to live on my, by myself in a house on my own property or renting or buying for the rest of my life. I can't, that's not an option for me. I like, in order to retire and live and have any semblance of living the good life and doing that, it's like, I need to do it communally with people because that's the only way it will work. And I'm like, I'd never thought about it from that sort of standpoint before, but like in what you're talking about like what, and like, or like what you said that got me thinking about what does it mean to prepare for this Trump, another Trump presidency, or whatever the fuck comes after this, you know,
or the next civil war, foreshadowing
it, whatever things look like when you're 60 and I'm 50, like in order to prepare for that, which is something I'd like to do, is like, we need to get together. We need to like, I don't know. I just want to live on a commune since I was a wee little lad.
Yeah. No, me too. And I think about it, you know, for sooner than that, because I would much rather raise my kids in a communal situation where they have lots of other kids to play with and lots of other, you know, my friends and I can help each other out. That would be a lot cooler to me than doing it the atomized, shitty way that, you know, white Americans tend to do it nowadays, which can be incredibly isolating. Like, whether you're a single parent or there's two of you, like, that's still not enough to raise kids in any kind of sane, healthy, fun way. I also think there should be more communities that aren't based around everyone fucking each other, especially in the city. You know, I feel like the communes that people have upstate or the, you know, collective situations tend to be sort of wholesome. But like, if you're looking at a building full of people in the city, you're like, oh yeah, you guys are all just one big messy polycule. No, you know, no offense to polycules, but that's not for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I know nothing about that because I don't have sex with anybody.
Oh yeah. We also, not to drag us back into the president talk, but, what do you think the probability is if there's another Joe Biden term that at least some of what we experience as Joe Biden will actually be AI?
I would hope that they wouldn't be so fucking like sloppy as to do that. Like, I feel like they wouldn't get away with it. That's also just like,
no,
you think that is, I mean, I don't even know. Like, all I know is the consumer level of AI is nowhere close to the like the actual capacities and the soon to come capacities and the already existing capacities of AI. You know, the fucking fake videos of like Donald Trump and Biden versing each other in Fortnite with like, you know, the auto-dubbed AI Trump words over it or whatever, like are somewhat convincing, and that's like a free consumer level product. So I don't know. I mean, I like have zero confidence in Joe Biden's ability to string together a coherent sentence that has any sort of like meaningful, like you can just tell how much like, how much effort that man has to put into reading a teleprompter and staying on script.
Yeah. Well, maybe the AI would be too good. people would be like, he's making too much sense. What's going on here?
Yeah, they'll be like, honestly, why don't we just have an AI president? Yeah, I mean, this guy's doing such a better job than Joe Biden. We should just have the computer run things.
I mean, honestly, it's not the worst idea. Like, it's not the best idea, but compared to what we have now, sure.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's the worst idea.
The AI, it's woke, remember? It won't say the N-word even to save the world. Elon Musk is very mad about that.
I didn't hear about that one.
It's like, no, what if you had to say it, though? It's like this fantasy scenario of his where he's like the one situation.
What is this guy's problem?
He like has to say the N-word or the world will be destroyed. It's like an AI won't do that. They're going to let the world end because of woke.
Yeah, he saves the world by These people just make up shit to get mad about and then they get like furious about it and then they base their entire personality about this manufactured fury about a fake scenario that they just cooked
it's
up in
so
their
good
head.
So it's good as fuck.
I do love this idea of moving upstate for our little our eclipse communes. And I do wonder what the world's going to look like then. I think your idea about like Genocide Joe having like us being fed AI like renditions of it, actually, the more I think about it, the more spot on that actually sounds. I'm very much hoping, I guess, I don't even know what I'm hoping for in the upcoming election. It's like, it's so fucked. I guess, obviously, I hope that we don't get another Trump election. Like, I'm not an accelerationist in that way. Like, I don't, that just doesn't make fucking sense to me.
There would be no point to being an accelerationist in this timeline because we are already living in the accelerationist timeline. It's like, how much further could things even possibly accelerate?
Oh, that's a very good point. I mean, like, so there are certain elements of it where it's like within our social movements, like, we want to be able to escalate those to their most powerful and strategic conclusions and like accelerate them along in a certain way or something like that. But like that's not what we should be focusing on. We need to be focusing on making our good things happen. Like that's what we do, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, accelerate the fucking communization and shit. But like a Trump presidency would not be good for anarchists. You know?
No, I don't think so either.
No.
We are taking a bold stance on this podcast that we are against bad things and in favor of things that are good. Mm. So, you know, don't at me.
Damn, they're going to cancel our asses for that.
Many have tried.